This is the kind of game that can get a coach fired. This is the game coming off the Dallas game. Don't lose to a 4-11 team when your season's on the line.
Bucks fans, Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira Kaufman's work at joebucksfan.com. They are Tampa's first family of Ford. That means they're family-owned, and they've been around since 1960, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Family-owned makes a difference. Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. Shop today at BillCurryFord.com. They've got great end-of-the-year specials. And remember, your trade-in is never worth more than it is today. BillCurryFord.com.
I'm such a big Irving fan. I like chunk plays, Lee. I like them.
Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration, what a great year it's been for them. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of tragedy in the Tampa Bay area, but they've been there for so many people across Tampa Bay, across Florida, all over the place, helping them recover from storm damage and hurricane damage, but also from fire, mold, floods, all sorts of things. Florida's Elite Restoration is your first phone call anytime you have a disaster at your property. 24/7, they'll get out there. Within a few hours, they'll respond, and they'll evaluate everything free. So you have an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator against your insurance company who's going to try to rip you off. Call Florida's Elite Restoration first. They will go to battle for you. If you need their services after your free evaluation, you'll get $500 back. If you mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call, Florida's Elite Restoration owner Josh Martin, big Bucks fan. They're locally owned, family owned. Get to their website now so you're prepared. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And one more time, remember those year-end closeout savings. They're fantastic at Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry. Drive Curry. 2024's. They're blowing them out. 2024 Mustang, Bronco, Explorer, whatever you need, get to BillCurryFord.com. And don't forget, Bill Curry Ford is the giant. They are masters of service. They will take care of you. They've got a great service department, 100 loaner vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping today. All right, huge game. The king of Newport Richie is here. Ira Kaufman. All right, Sage, look, you're a bit of an amateur psychologist. Either way, you're a wise sage, which is why we call you the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. And it's not just because you're old, like you like to say, Ira. You're a sage.
Are we going to start with my golf outing yesterday, Stevie? I mean, you're going right to the Bucks?
Yeah, we're going right to the meat and potatoes.
All right.
We'll talk about your golf outing.
I'm interested in the vegetables, but you're going to the meat and potatoes.
All right, look, Todd Bowles said, quote, "It doesn't need to be talked about." He was asked about, you know, the critical nature of this game coming up and sort of his communication with the team as far as the urgency and, you know, everything's on the line. Quote, "It doesn't need to be talked about." Now, Ira, I'm curious, as a man of the world, you know there are a lot of coaches that would be hammering away every day. This is our Super Bowl. Season on the line. Young players, you need to know what's going on. Up their asses with that message. But Todd Bowles is sticking to the even keel. Sort of that's who he is. Every day you grind it out. Do you like it? Do you not like it? What do you think about it? I'm not saying it's bad.
Well, it's Bowles' style. Understated. Treating the players like they're grown-ups. If there's a guy on a 53-man roster that doesn't know the shape that the Bucks are in going into the final two games in terms of the playoffs, that guy shouldn't be on the roster.
Thank you.
I mean, he's a grown-up, grown-ass man.
Thank you.
Do you got to take trigonometry to figure out you better take care of your own business on Sunday afternoon? Then you go watch the Falcons play. Take care of your business. Then have a big party and watch the Falcons and Commanders go at it. I don't see any problem with Bowles saying that, Lee. Now, is he saying the same things behind closed doors? I think he is. I think he's treating them like adults. And if something has to be said, I think Mayfield will say it.
And he already has.
Yeah, and he already
several
has.
Times.
And he already
over
has.
The last few weeks. I agree with you, Ira. Like, I mean, how could they not know the consequences? And I noticed that fans are on Twitter are upset because I Twittered that out, what Bowles said, and fans are upset by that. I'm like, you know, what are these guys, they wake up from a three-month nap?
You don't have to hit them over the head.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Now I'm going crazy here, guys. Okay, how many guys are on the roster? 53? Okay, maybe 60 potential with practice squad call-ups. Would you wager? How much money would you put up that every guy in that roster really understands that they could be out of the playoffs by Sunday night?
If they, I'll let I raise.
How many do you think? Would you put money on it?
Yeah.
They all really know the stakes?
Yes.
Yeah.
All
yes.
right.
I mean, Mayfield.
Because it's talked about in the locker room.
Yeah.
Without Bowles being around.
All right.
And Mayfield's leading the charge.
Levante. I'm flabbergasted.
Evans.
I have an imaginative mind. I have a fertile mind.
That's good, Lee. That's
and I can't imagine that there's one player that doesn't know if they lose, they may be gone. They may be done. I just can't. I can't.
Come on, this ain't a 16-year-old in junior high school.
All right, Ira, look, I've listened to guys talk on the team, talk about how they don't watch football outside of their job, that they're not really big football fans. I've listened to guys say, man, I didn't even look when the schedule came out. I just took
Lee,
a peek at this.
Shame on them. Anybody that's in that situation.
That's two different things. I mean, are we to sit here and honestly believe in the meeting rooms, in the position meeting rooms, that has not been brought up?
I don't know.
That's well, I mean,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Is there a chance? Of course. Would I bet a nickel on it? Hell no.
I think Bowles prefers it to be a player thing. I think Bowles likes
sure.
that.
Way stretch for me. For me. I can only talk for me.
Sure.
To imagine that there's one player in this team that, hey, you know, if we lose, we might be done for
the season. I think even the punter's aware of it. Whoever the damn punter is on Sunday, I think he'll be aware of it.
All right, Sage, look, I could see coaches, though, saying, like, you know, without getting specific and without drilling at home more than usual, because they've been saying since the bye week, our playoffs start now.
So you'd say yeah. season on the
but
line.
But I'm not sure that every guy necessarily knows the nuance. Maybe it's important to stress, maybe it's not. I don't know.
I wouldn't even call it a nuance, Lee. I mean,
well, did they look like they were aware of this on Sunday night? When they came out, the defense looked like that?
I'm not going to say that they came out like that because they had no idea about the importance
exactly.
of the game. I can't say that.
Undisciplined, maybe.
What I can say is they played a god-awful first half.
Oh.
Awful.
All right. Well, I had to get your wisdom. You guys set me straight. No, you guys set me straight. Hey,
Now, Lee, let's say it right here, right even before I talk about my god.
Uh-oh. Were your guitar lessons?
No, not that either.
All right,
you
now listen,
know I'm singing.
Let me put out a public service message here.
About his recital?
Ira has warned us that he's got a recital coming up for his guitar playing. Now, he won't tell us where it is. He won't tell us anything about it. But if you have any information, please put it on the website. Put it in a comment. Lee and I'll see.
Well, I think it's very easy to find out.
We need to get there.
If any of your listeners, Ira, are just traveling through Pasco County on a specific date, and they find an unusual amount of dogs howling, you're probably in a neighborhood recital.
That's right. I can now publicly tell everybody what my songs are. I have two songs.
Well, you gave us one.
Midnight Rider, which Lee never heard of from
no,
the
I've heard
Brothers.
That.
And a tender Beatles ballad Ooh. Called And I Love Her. Do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do. That's the first time that's been
oh,
on
my
the...
God. Can we get our photographer out there
oh,
at least?
Geez.
All right, tell us about your golf game. You hadn't played in a year. What's up?
Nine holes, Beacon Woods with some of my tennis people. The great number six, long asshole, 114 yards, par three, par, Lee, par. I got a par. Sent me home very happy. Now, that's not the point I was going to make.
Par is equal, right?
Par is equal.
Okay.
Equal's good. Equals good. It's like turnover differential. Equals good. Lee. Now, Lee, what I was going to say, because we have to not only acknowledge it, but I think we have to stress it on this podcast leading into
stress
week 17.
It.
Is this about your golf game?
No. Even the Vegas boys, who you are very familiar with.
Am I?
Say and suggest the Bucks have a damn good chance of making the playoffs, even after the loss to Dallas. Let's stress that, Lee.
Well,
all is not lost.
I've seen... The Bucks' chances are 51%.
That's a damn good chance.
Well, that's the flip of the coin.
That's a chance of me hitting a hole-in-one on a par three
at
a miniature golf course.
Now, what you didn't stress is why tennis guys want to play golf.
Well, they need a break from tennis because I'm firing winners right past.
So, 9-iron on that par three?
8-iron.
Okay, good. We didn't get a lot of golf talk.
Steve, I think the Bucks have a very good chance of being in the postseason.
Like we talked about this last time. I think they will do it. You know, I think they'll beat Carolina. Man, if they have to play the Saints team, which, you know, lost 31-34-0 the other night, man, they looked like a team that just has mailed it in.
Saints mailed it in.
That's what it looked like.
30 degrees out to them. It's at 5 below.
Although they came in here late last year and spanked the Bucks.
Thank you.
Yes, they did.
Thank
Lee.
You.
Now, different team. Different team. I mean, they're ravaged by injuries. You think the Bucks have injuries? Look at the Saints.
But the Saints have won 3 out of 6, and before the Green Bay game, they were 1 2-point conversion at the end of the game away from beating the Commanders. So, you know, we'll see how they bounce back in week 17 here.
I'm going to do a bar stool thing right now. And I'll
You're
going to
curse?
Well, that's... There you go. Anybody can curse. I want to know who that blonde was on the Saints bench. Was she a trainer? Was she an owner's daughter? What?
You were watching the Saints and Titans on a Monday night?
Packers. Not the Titans, Packers.
Oh, the Packers.
You can't pay me to watch Saints-Titans.
It wasn't Gracie Hunt, was it, Lee?
She might have been cuter.
Oh,
she was a knockout.
Was she a reporter?
I have no idea who she was.
Oh.
She was on the Saints bench. I'm like, who is this?
Steve, is there any way the Bucs could come out flat on Sunday?
Yeah.
Steve, could it happen?
Well, they haven't played great at home.
They haven't.
3-4 at home. They've come out a couple of times a little flat, and they were not consistent in that Raiders game 2 weeks ago. Yeah, sure, it could happen, but, man, it shouldn't. Against the Panthers, look, in that game, they ran it down their throat. 250-something yards rushing, I believe it was. Bucky Irving, the Panthers simply could not stop in the Bucs' own time of possession, yet there they were needing a miracle. Anthony Nelson saved the season, so they're better than the Panthers. They just got to play like it.
Liam,
with Sunday night.
Liam, I'm going to give you a name. This name drives Isbits up a wall.
What Lee just said, the Cowboys clobbered the Panthers.
They did.
2 weeks ago. So I Cowboys think I'm much better.
Liam, I'm going to give you a name. I'm a little worried about this guy. I think he's going to hurt the Bucs on Sunday. I think he's going to hurt him. When I mention his name, no, Chubb is good. Chubb is good. But this is the guy that where Isbits says, Ira, what are you talking about? The guy's over the hill. He can't play anymore. Yes, he can. Adam Thielen. Lee, watch out. Watch out.
I don't trust
the Buck pass defense, and Thielen is a crafty son of a gun.
Well, he's playing well.
I
agree with Steve. The guy's over the hill, but he's still got enough gas in the tank that he can hurt you.
He almost had 2 touchdowns. Remember that?
What, against the Bucs?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that. He hurt the Bucs. He's got enough gas in the tank. He may not dominate you, but he can nail you with
he's
the play
crafty,
or two.
Steve. He's crafty. He's a good route runner.
He's been playing better. Since the Bucs game, he revived himself. He's had some
good
games.
I agree that he's over the hill. But I also know he's dangerous.
You know, one thing I didn't mention, Lee, in the 10 takeaways, and I sort of
11.
I sort of made it 11.
You know where I get that from, right? Mel Brooks?
Did you see how I had to tweak your 10 takeaways?
I have these 15.
Lee, I did mention that not having Kate Otten might have hurt the Bucs on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough to quantify it. And, you know, Durham made some catches, but he's not Kate Otten. And he's not a blocker.
Exactly.
They say he's a great blocker, but
I agree with you. Otten has turned into a decent blocker.
Blocking, you know, McMillan's coming along.
Coming along, but my gosh, that touchdown he had taken away. Oh, that hurt. That was a game winner.
Was a nice ball from Mayfield. That was a
great throw,
ball.
55 yards in the air. So, look, I don't think Kate Otten was necessarily missed that much in that game specifically. Guys on the edge did a pretty good job blocking, and the run game, I don't know. I'd have to look closer at it, but I thought he played pretty well, Durham, overall. I think the Bucs got to be pretty happy with him.
I wrote this morning. It was eerily similar to San Francisco. And Bowles acknowledged, Rashad White is their two-minute back. And I get it. He blocks better. I don't know if he catches better, but he blocks better. I get it. But you know what? They're 2-5. Thank you, Steve, for correcting me. They are 2-5 in one-score games. With everything on the line right now, it might be time to revisit that philosophy. Might be.
You know, speaking of pass pro, everybody talks about, you know, White's good at it, and you can't rely on Bucky Irving.
He's okay. He's not good.
Stevie, barring an injury, which we don't know about.
Yeah.
You got to have your best players on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's time to win the game.
Yeah.
If I got Bucky Irving or Rashad White, these guys are exceptional targets out of the backfield. Why do I want them blocking? I want him out in the flat.
Well, it depends on the play. You know, depends how many guys are lining up to rush the pass.
I want him out on the flat as
all
my
right,
outlet
all
pass.
Right, that's what Ira wants.
I can't disagree with that.
And burn the blitz. Burn the blitz.
Yeah.
They got an audible out of that. It's not so easy.
I'm such a big Irving fan, Lee. Because
but you don't have a jersey yet.
The guy never goes in a straight line. He makes sensational cuts. Sensational.
Is it because his name starts with Irv?
Oh.
And he wasn't spectacular Sunday night, but he was effective.
Well, that touchdown run he had, I thought was pretty darn good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Broke a tackle on the way.
All right, Sage, look.
How many touches did my man get the other day?
Irving got 16 carries and 3 catches. So 19 touches.
He got 16 carries against the Cowboys?
16 carries, 68 yards, and a touchdown.
Seems like a lot.
They did not hand off the ball to Rashad White at all. He had 4 or 5 carries, and then he had the 3 catches for 24 yards. So, Sage, look, Irving now has 920 yards rushing, 5.5 yards a carry, most efficient season by a Buccaneers running back in history, you know, with a limited, you know, with like 100-plus carries or something.
Right,
and the Bucs have had some damn good backs in the past.
He leads the NFL in catch percentage at 95.3%, which I have to double-check. I believe If he catches a couple of more, he's going to hit. He's going to break the all-time record, and he hasn't dropped a ball or not caught a ball near him. You know, and obviously, if the ball goes to you and there's a pass breakup, that goes against your record.
And White's very good in terms of catch percentage.
I think it's been like 11 games since he didn't catch a ball.
And Lee, one more point. You talk about chunk plays, and they don't like to go downfield that much. And we've talked about that. They certainly don't go downfield to my satisfaction. But the little added texture of Bucky Irving, he breaks long runs. He breaks long runs, 30, 40, 50 yards. I like chunk plays, Lee. I like them.
Was that an adjective?
I sound like
John Gruden.
I like him.
You know, as you say, likey. the adjective you used, I thought was awesome. Texture.
Yeah, texture. Steve, he's a game breaker. The guy breaks long runs left and right.
Look, he's a phenomenal player. Again, I looked it up here. 25 carries, 152 yards, and a touchdown the last time they played Carolina. That was the first time they really just handed him the rock. They were desperate, if you remember, and it was Bucky, Bucky, Bucky.
That was the week going into it with my podcast saying, give him the ball. I want 20 touches. They gave him more than 20 touches.
Well, Ivers is getting all worked up here. You know, look out, carry.
They should be able to do that again. And this time they got a healthy.
That's a great throwaway line, Lee.
This time they got a healthy Mike Evans out there. I hope there's a steady diet that they don't overthink this. Like, okay, the Panthers couldn't stop us running last time. They don't have a good run defense. Let's go get it.
I don't think they have a good defense at all, Steve.
No, they don't. They don't rush the
passer. They were 32nd. I don't know if they're still 32nd, but
32nd in overall.
I think I'm afraid to look,
but I will. I will.
What defense? I'm sorry.
The Panthers. Panthers. They stink.
I think you're referring to the Bucks.
Chuba Hubbard, you know, he's a good back, Lee.
He's solid. Very good. He's over 1,000 yards. He didn't do anything against the Bucks, though, when we saw him.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Sage, the Panthers. Here's the tale of the tape, if you will. They're 4-11, and even though a lot of people talk about them as if they're 9-5. And yeah. they have the 32nd ranked defense.
In scoring or yards?
In scoring, and they improve in yards to 31st ranked defense. They also allow the most first downs in the league.
Liam Cohn should have a field day, Lee. Should have a field day.
They allow the 30th most touchdowns in the league, and they have the league's worst run defense. They're really good over there.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Bucks should have a quick start, Lee.
You would hope. No, I got to ask
you. Don't fall behind 10-0.
Ira, what is this that the Bucks are 7-1 when they score first and winless when they don't score first, and they've got a damn good offense? That shouldn't be.
Well, they have to have a win, right, if they got 8 wins.
Yes, did I say 7-1?
Yeah.
When they score first. Here's this I know. They have one loss when they scored first. They have no wins when they do not score first.
With the offense
that they have, that shouldn't be.
Lee, you know what hurt their offense? We didn't mention this in the first quarter in Dallas. Doesn't mean they would have scored a touchdown or whatever. That Shepard drop, that was bad.
Oh, fourth down.
That was terrible, Steve.
Terrible. And he had two drops.
Where's his kids?
The second one I thought might have been a deflected one, but it still went into his chest.
Yeah, bounced off his shoulder pads.
But didn't the guy tip it? I thought he did.
It was tipped, but it went the breastplate.
The bad one hit him in the number 7 on it. Right, I mean, that's right, terrible.
So where were his kids?
Who, Shepard?
Yeah, you know what I'm getting at, right?
No.
You know, they do those intros. He had his kids on.
Oh, that's so cute.
Come on. If you're going to be doing that kind of crap, you better start making catches on fourth
down. That was a big play, Steve. That was a big play. It set a bad tone.
It was a tremendous play. It's as good as a turnover.
That was fourth down?
That was fourth down, yeah. The Bucks went, was deep in their territory.
Russo would go nuts about that. You got enough ego to have your kids on there, which is, I wouldn't have allowed if I was NBC, but I'm not NBC. And, oh, it's so cute. Well, freaking catch the ball on fourth down.
Is Bowles getting a little more aggressive offensively in terms of fourth downs, Lee?
I think it's more Cohn than Bowles.
I don't know. Ultimately, it's got to go through Bowles.
Was it Dungeon asked Bowles about offense, and he pretty much said that, hey, you got to score points. So maybe he's turning the new leaf? I don't know.
A couple of years ago, Bowles would have punted from midfield, Steve. I think he's being a little more aggressive.
Well, number one, he had a much better punter back then.
And not as much confidence in his defense.
And that's the other one. He had a better defense, much more confidence.
I got to ask you this, Ira. Some fans are asking Joe, which they're asking Steve and I.
I want to be a Joe.
Oh, you can.
I don't want to be an Ira. I want to be a Joe.
Well,
Joe Kaufman.
Hey, you said Kaufman, not Kaufman.
What do you make of this? That, okay, Kamara wasn't having a great year.
And now he's out of the league? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That seems to happen to a lot of former Bucks. They hit the market, and nobody wants them.
All right, Sage, look, I got a comment from Todd Bowles. He got a little open with Dan Lucas on his little sit-down there that he
usually
does.
Usually he don't give out much on Mondays.
It's no. therapy, wasn't it?
No, I felt like Bowles, very interesting Bowles. Now, Bowles did an interview on Sirius XM NFL Radio Monday morning with Logan Ryan and Bob Papa. Now, he's usually on Monday afternoon, but he didn't do it. And
Monday morning? Well,
yeah, he did.
What the heck time did he get home?
He did Logan Ryan a favor. They said they got in like 4:30. Bowles didn't go to bed, and maybe he got a little nap or something.
And then he had his podium thing at 10.
And he did an early morning interview with Logan Ryan, who thanked him, hey, coach, I'm sure you haven't slept and all that stuff. And then he sat down with Dan Lucas. So I'm thinking that Bowles maybe was just so tired that he just like, was like slinging answers. So this is one thing he was asked. Dan Lucas, you know, if you remember, I believe in the post-game interview, that somebody asked Bowles about, I think it might have been Jenna Lane, easy throws over the middle, something like
that. Yeah,
he bristled.
Okay?
He bristled.
Well, Dan Lucas, a day later, says, hey, it seemed like the Cowboys were just throwing the ball over, quote, over the middle, real easy, seven, 8 yard completions. You know, what's up with that? And Bowles says, well, it should have been 3 yard completions or 4 yard completions. He didn't deny it like he did the previous day. And then Bowles said, quote, he said, quote, it should have been 3 and 4 yards. There were only three passes that went past 10 yards in the game. Everything else was checkdowns, either missed tackles or getting too wide in our drops and not coming back fast enough. Things we talk about, things we practice, things we preach, and things that didn't happen on Sunday. It was no communication issue, which he had said. But this time he said, we just either dropped too wide or we missed a tackle that doesn't require communication. We need to be in our right zone drops in order to make plays. He's never been that open before about his crappy zone defense. I was kind of proud of him.
Yeah. And, Lee, I think it's too limiting to say all the wide-open guys were over the middle. I saw some guys near the sidelines also, nobody around them for 8-9 yards. I don't agree with Bowles that it was 3-4 yard catches. I don't believe that.
Like 7 yard catches.
They look more like 7 or 8. Yeah, they missed some tackles. I'm not going to excuse the tackling, Lee. It's been a problem all season. Terrible. And a lot of offenders. Winfield wasn't very good when he was playing. Whitehead wasn't very good when he was playing. Lavonte David's like the only guy I trust to make a tackle.
And even he started the game with a couple of bad ones.
So he
played dynamite in the second half.
Bowles' word of the day, I believe, was fundamentals. Fundamentals. I think he kept saying fundamentals. He didn't say miscommunication.
In late December.
So he was talking about zone drops again. Get on your markers. You know, they got the markers, Lee. And then tackle. It's hard to imagine we're talking about this heading into week 17.
Exactly. It makes no sense to me. Because, I mean, that's what training camp is for. You get your fundamentals down.
A lot of people were talking up the Buck defense going into the Dallas game, Steve, that they really turned the corner during the four-game winning streak.
Well, Ira,
and it all went to crap.
Well, Ira, here's one for you. You don't hear it anymore. This saying. I heard it so many freaking times last week, it ain't funny. You don't want to play this team. Nobody wants to play this team in the playoffs.
I think I said it.
Well, you said it, and there 50,000 other people said it, too. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You do want to play this team in the playoffs.
I also said I thought they'd end with a 7-game winning streak. Well, I didn't see why not.
Went to crap in the first half.
In the first half.
We can also, if we want to play the excuses game, they did run into an unbelievable kicker who put some extra points on the board.
They did.
That you probably wouldn't have elsewhere.
Yep. Yeah, they did.
And they tightened up in the second half. But, yeah,
but the guy still threw for 220
but,
in the first half.
I think what Bowles is a little bit he's saying is like, hey, you know, if the guys were where they were supposed to be, the throw wouldn't have even been made to that 7 yard guy down the field because he would have been covered.
So why isn't Dean and McCollum where they're supposed to be?
I don't know.
In week 17,
nobody
they don't
knows.
Know
nobody that. Knows this soft zone answer, Ira, other than the Bucks. If they don't get an incredible blast up the middle, they got no pass rush, which hurts. Even when a guy is releasing the ball as quickly as Cooper Rush is, if he's not threatened, he gets more and more comfortable.
You know, Steve,
or as you would say, comfortable.
Steve mentioned something as a throwaway line, but Lee, I think it's worth you commenting on when we were talking about the pass rush, the non-pass rush against Cooper Rush in the first half. And Steve said as a kind of a throwaway, and the blitzers didn't get there. Lee, the blitzers aren't getting there.
I know.
Is it the kind of blitz he's doing? Is it the people that are blitzing?
Whatever
Lavonte David's been fairly effective in that
regard.
Well,
that's Lavonte David.
Do they miss Winfield in that regard?
Well, Winfield, you're opening up a can of worms here. Winfield, maybe he still has a messed up foot from the season opener. He's not the same player. I don't know why. I defy people to say, you know, and a couple of people have tried to say, when I say people, I'm talking about commenters on Joe Bucks Fan. They're suggesting, oh, he got paid, so he's packing it in. That doesn't sound like him at all.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy that. I think he's dinged up. He's not letting on. Something is awry, and I don't know what that is. You know what? Bill Belichick, when he didn't get a pass rush, like when Peyton Manning would start covering him up, you know what he would do? He would drop nine guys. Okay, I can't get there. Then try. Then you figure out who's covering who. And he would drop nine guys.
Interesting.
Has Bowles ever thought about doing that? I mean, I thought about that in the first half when Cooper Rush was going crazy. I'm like, okay, you can't get to him. He's got a quick release. We'll drop nine guys. We'll flood the field with defensive backs.
And Steve, here's an example where one of many where stats can be deceiving. We talked early in the year, Lee, the first month. Where are the sacks? Where are the sacks? Well, Steve, I said they're going to end up with 45 sacks because Bowles' defense always ends up with 45 sacks. They're probably going to do it, Steve. They're probably right there. However, having said that, the pass rush has been wildly inconsistent.
Absolutely.
Wildly inconsistent.
Wildly.
So I don't think it's been acceptable, and I don't care if you get 45
sacks.
Yeah,
I think right now they're about 11th in sacks. I got to tell our listeners, Ira, aside from reminding them about Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, I got to say, you know, you used to do a show with Derek Brooks.
Yes.
On the Identity Tampa Bay, which died. Jeff Vinnick couldn't.
I think we lost our sponsor.
He couldn't. Well, Jeff Vinnick, the whole thing died. Jeff Vinnick couldn't stay in business on that venture, and here we are. What's wrong with that picture? But anyway, bottom line is, I used to do that show with Brooks, and I used to have fun counting how many times you would touch Brooks during the shooting of this video program.
Oh, like a drinking game?
And now I'm doing it to you?
I've never really sat next to you this closely in a podcast in a long time. Ira keeps touching me.
Now you got me freaked out.
I'm usually on the opposite side.
He's whacking me. He's doing all kinds of things. It's kind of funny.
Now you got me
going. I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy. And sometimes I've gotten in trouble over that.
What's Carrie up to tonight? Bless her heart. I think she's gonna have a frisky Ira on her hands.
She might have a frisky Ira because I'm still talking about that par I got on the sixth hole over there, Stevie.
All right, Sage.
Are you okay with the buck pass rush in 2024? Are you okay with it?
No, but it's the same thing you said. Like I said, they're about 11th in sacks, and it's wildly inconsistent. Want to mention this though? Years ago, I talked to your buddy, our buddy here, safeties coach Nick Rapone. And he was very clear that the Todd Bowles defense is designed to have the nickel be the lead blitzer. That is why Todd Bowles moved Antoine Winfield to nickel a few years ago, which turned out to be a terribly dumb move.
But it's also why they drafted Tyke Smith.
It's why they drafted Tyke Smith. Now, Tyke Smith has no sacks. He's got like three, maybe four quarterback hits, and he hasn't been the blitzer that they had hoped. There may be other reasons for that. I know they're using him a little bit differently, but if Nick Rapone is right, and he's the, you know, one of Todd Bowles' tight guys, been with him for decades, known him for decades, you know, I think they're missing that.
I really got to ask you about Tyke Smith.
Put those fries right in the middle.
Thank you. Okay. Ira, Chucky on his game preview of the Bucks and the Cowboys.
Which are always very entertaining, right, Lee? They're entertaining.
Nicey. That's nothing nicey. He claimed Tyke Smith is the best Bucks corner. He was not particularly knocking McCollum.
Well, listed as a corner. Is he listed as a corner?
Well, he's playing nickel.
All right. So he said he's the best. He's the best.
Yeah, and he
over
was not,
McCollum. Over McCollum.
Yeah, he was not knocking McCollum. He had a couple nice things to say about McCollum. Same with Dean. He said Bucks missed him. I think that's we could agree with that. He said Tyke Smith is the Bucks' best corner.
I like a lot of things about Tyke Smith, Steve. But I did mention he's got to gear up his tackling a little bit. I remember a couple of big ones where the guy spun away from
Chargers.
Him. Chargers.
Spun
and,
right off him.
And the game in Atlanta, Mooney, I think, did it. Also, at the 10-yard line, ended up with going into the touchdown. Those are big plays. So, but I think Smith's got a very bright future.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's made big plays. He made a big play in this game against the Cowboys. Very unsung tackle late in the game for one of the three and outs. But I don't think they're getting what they want from him, to answer your question. Now, I got to bring this up because it was so harsh coming from who it came from, and it was very personal in a lot of ways. So I had this at JoeBucksFan.com. Devin McCourty, who works for NBC now, sat down, you know, Pro Bowl safety for Belichick 13 years. He sat down and was having a discussion, a very feisty discussion with Chris Sims about the Bucks defense. And Sims rants about dropping these guys in coverage. I don't trust the defense. They're all over the place. And they just, why does this happen? Kirk Cousins is not that good. All that stuff. Anyway, McCourty said, and he's a very even keel guy. He basically said, look, I'm very biased to the Bill Belichick system, but Bill Belichick has a very multiple defense and they adjust to the other team. And he goes on and says, quote, in the football world, we know Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles and his defense. We used to call it, quote, they're a do what they do team. Like they do week in and week out. They're going to match up a little bit to what you do. But for the most part, They just think our defense is good. We have the players that fit. We're going to do it. So he was slapping balls for not adjusting and being a do-what-you-do guy, which he doesn't like because he wasn't around to do-what-you-do guy. And it was pretty harsh, you know, a pretty harsh hit from a defensive guy.
I don't know if I agree with it, Lee.
I'm not sure I do, too.
I'll tell you why, Lee. First of all, I think Bowles has a reputation for varying his game plan to the specific opponent. I think he does. I'll tell you who. McCourty's talking 20 years too late. The Buck defense that didn't adjust to the other team was the Monty Kiffin Dungy defense. We do what we do.
Interesting.
And it was very successful. Now, it always helps to have four Hall of Famers. And no matter how good Vita Vea is, he's not going to Canton or Joe Tryon. Now, Lavani's another story. But, by the way, I saw a story. I don't want to veer off this topic a little bit, but I saw a story talking about Mike Evans saying he's not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer because he's never been the best receiver in football, maybe not even the best two or three.
Didn't you tell him that?
Receivers in football. I don't believe I did say that. But
wasn't that Greg Rosenthal?
I think it was. It's not going to keep him out of Hall of Fame, but I think it's going to keep him off the first ballot. Because, Lee, a lot of great receivers, they don't get in on first ballot.
He referred to him as a compiler.
I wouldn't say he's a compiler.
Which is a dirty word in
research. I don't like that.
He also made an analogy, and I think it's apropos, to Art Monk. I've done that before. I don't think that's a disgrace.
You know why he's not a compiler, too, Lee? He's got the touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's a different category. But anyway, I don't think McCourty's on the right track with Bowles. Say what you want about Bowles' defense. It's not working very well this year. That's obvious, except for the four-game winning streak. Yeah, he doesn't have it. Some people think Logan Hall's wasn't Bowles waxing
about
raving about Logan Hall?
Basically, what I think the Bucs are trying to do with Logan Hall, and I think it may be working, they're trying to turn him into Will Golston.
That might be right, Lee. That might be
now,
right.
Now, Golston always was a decent pass rusher.
So a situational lineman and go out there and stuff the run, that's Golston's specialty.
Yeah, and I think he's doing a decent job being the next Will Golston. I don't know that if you're in the draft room and you're 33rd pick overall, you want to be Will Golston. That's a bit of a stretch.
How much do they miss Chris Godwin right now?
Tremendously. Yeah. Come on. Tremendously. This might be the best offense in the league with Chris Godwin. It's top 5-6 now.
He might have been the best receiver in football at the time he went down.
Yeah. It's reliable, very, it's certainly. Very, very sad. Sad situation.
They beat the Cowboys with Godwin. Is that simple?
Is he coming back next year, Ira?
There's no chance he's coming back for the playoffs, right?
I'm only basing this on watching Chris Godwin. He did an interview on the Buccaneers radio network. He made nothing sound like he was remotely close to getting back. I did a little more research in the injury, and it seems like typically a guy with his timetable would probably be late March, if he had to come back April.
I hate to think about letting him go, Lee. I'd hate to think about it. Now, he's got a depressed free agent market. That works to the Bucs' favor. Some people are saying you got to franchise him. Hasn't he been franchised? I don't see that.
They franchise him, but he's not going to get number one.
I don't see
money.
Franchising him. It's hard for me to imagine letting him go because I don't think they have that much depth behind my guess.
I agree with you. I think they should bring him back. And because he's damaged goods, I think his...
leverage?
He has no leverage. Or limited. He has limited.
Limited.
I was looking at a quote. You know, like car. Give me a quote on that car. Well, the quote on Godwin isn't as high as what it was 4 months ago.
Well, I got a Ford Escape, so I'm going to get a good value for my car.
Your trade
Bill
is
Curry Ford.
Your trade is never worth more than it is today, Ira. It's almost the end of the year. Well, here's the thing with Godwin. I think he's going to have a lot of leverage, a lot. And then be a lot of teams want him, but not for the pay scale he's used to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the question is, how much are the Bucs willing to pay? Because if what I read is accurate, that he'd probably be in game shape April-ish. You know, he's going to have plenty of time to work out for teams, plenty of time to feel it out and prove himself. And, if there's 8 teams that want to pay him $10 to $12, $13 million, I don't know what he's going to do. That might come down to who's the coach. Is Liam Cohen back? All that stuff. Yeah, I know. It's okay.
Quick point. I hope this doesn't happen, but you never know. They go to number 54 after the season. Well, what's your feelings about 2025? I've had enough. I've put my time in. My legacy is intact. I'm going to retire. So my question, very simple, gentlemen. Now the draft comes along. Say the Bucs are picking 20th. There's an edge rusher or there's an inside linebacker. What do they got to get?
They need a linebacker,
are you trying
period.
To give Lee a stroke?
They need a linebacker, period. Period. They need a linebacker. Even if Levante comes back, they need a linebacker. He doesn't come back. They really need a linebacker.
Inside or outside?
Inside. Otherwise, you're talking J.J. Russell and K.J. Britt as your linebacker.
Forget about Dennis. Don't forget about Dennis.
Well, I mean, my gosh.
They like him, Steve.
They like him.
They like him, but I mean, he barely played as a rookie. He played a couple games as a second-year guy.
I thought he made some plays, Lee.
He made some plays, but he's got nothing as far as a resume, and he's always hurt. You can't bank on the guy.
So you wouldn't kill him if they drafted an inside linebacker?
Here's the problem. No, I would not kill them. But the draft is not filled with inside linebackers this year. I mean, there's a couple guys out there, you watch them play, and like, okay, this guy might be something. But they're going to need a linebacker in free agency, I think. I really do. Levante or no Levante. They got to bring somebody.
No guarantee Levante David's going to play again, Steve. No guarantee that he's not going to retire.
Hey, there's no guarantee whatsoever. I think he will play. I really do, if he doesn't get hurt between now and the end of the season.
What if the season ends on a poor note? Could that affect his decision?
I guess. I'm not sure why. I mean, if he's enjoying playing, and Todd Bowles says every time he's asked, he says, especially on his radio shows, David loves practice, all the Brady kind of stuff that you hear about, that, you know, he doesn't take a day off unless, you know, we kind of make him, and he's just so into it at all times, comes with a little kid kind of joy to practice. So that's my thought there.
You know, Lee, I'm a little depressed because I picked the Bucks last week, and I think I was on a nice little 4 or 5 game winning streak. And like you two guys, I picked the Bucks to beat Dallas. And in the words of Mike Evans, Lee, and let's not forget it, Dallas deserved to win. Dallas deserved to win.
Now, we got the Bucks, the Panthers, and we just laid out how the Panthers' defense is worst in the NFL. What's the strength of the Bucks? The offense. Home field doesn't seem to mean much for the Bucks. The Panthers have had some, you know, they're a 4-win team. They've had a couple of nice efforts on the road, but not a lot. And last time, Lee wrote it up, last time the Bucks played the Panthers, Bryce Young had a tremendous day whenever the Bucks played zone. When they blitzed, Bryce Young was awful. So hopefully I'm expecting them to pound the ball to Irving and to blitz the heck out of Young and hopefully get an early lead so they feel more comfortable doing that. But unless they do something stupid, I don't think they're going to lose. So I think they'll win soundly here. I think they got the message in last game, whatever that message is. And I think they're a solid 13-point win here, 30-17 Bucks.
All right. Lee, I'm going to start the way I should start because this podcast is known for honesty. We're not beholden to anybody. Lee, this is as simple as I could put it. This is the kind of game that can get a coach fired.
Yeah.
This is the game coming off the Dallas game. Don't lose to a 4-11 team when your season's on the line, and then you don't put the pressure on the Falcons. You got to put the pressure on the Falcons. You got to win the game, Lee. Now, Carolina's been playing better, but they're 4-11. They got trounced by the Cowboys 2 weeks ago. The Bucs didn't get trounced by the Cowboys.
Got trounced by themselves.
I got them winning 27-13, Lee. This is a dangerous game for Todd Bowles. He better win it. What are the ramifications of a loss?
They're out of the playoffs. I'll flat out say it. They lose, no playoffs. They're not coming back.
And what does that mean? Or what could it mean?
Oh, I agree with you. I think Bowles is on a hot seat. Certainly from the fans, he'll be on the hot seat. I don't know about management. They can still have a winning record, can they not, and lose?
Yes.
That's the key. He has a losing record. I think it might be it for him. He wins, has a winning record, but no playoffs. I think he might be safe.
Especially if he gets to 10. Especially. How ugly could it get if in the late stages of the game?
What kind of conversation is this?
If they're losing. How ugly could it get at the stadium?
Well, the ugliest I've ever seen Bucks fans at the stadium. I can't remember who they were playing, but Shannon's final season.
Could have been Atlanta.
And I might have been Halloween. That place was wild. They wanted Shannon's head on a platter. I've never seen a Bucks crowd that hostile, that wild. Other than that, it was getting ugly. It was really getting ugly. I mean, people are dressed up in hazmat suits. They're dressed up as goats.
That was the Mercy year?
That was the Mercy year. They wanted Shannon's head.
Steve, we're all picking the Bucks. We're not naysayers here.
Yeah, I can't think about the, you know, them getting booed off the field and what that would look like. And you know, if you lose to this game at home, you deserve something terrible to happen. You can't do it. At some point, you got to draw a line in the sand. You can't do it. Just to emphasize how serious this is. Just like shopping at Bill Curry Ford, where they'll beat your best deal by $100. BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry, drive Curry, family owned. Sage, Bryce Young against the Bulls zone. Was 23 of 32 for a season-high 242 yards. Also, a season-high against his own defense. Keep in mind that in that game, Bryce Young had his highest completion total of his career, that still applies today, against man defense, 3 of 14 for 56 yards. Now, it seems like the formula is there
to
beat this
team. I
think
Lee and I can come up with a defensive game plan in that case.
I hope so, Ira. All right, look.
Make Bryce Young look like the young, punky quarterback he is.
Sage, it's after Christmas. Everybody's listening to this. You got a New Year's thought for everybody, or a pregame thought, because we'll be talking to everybody after the game.
Well, I just want to wish all our readers, all our listeners, and our growing Joe Buck's family that we appreciate your support. We appreciate the feedback. We read the comments. We read them. And unlike Lee and Steve, I don't usually respond, but you guys do, and I'm glad you do. And we like to get the reviews on the podcast. But it's been another very good year for Joe Buck's fan. I'm very happy to be part of this group. We are going to keep giving you the kind of coverage you deserve.
It sounds like Ira's coming back for 2025.
Are we going to have an Ira's not retiring party?
Are we reading that correctly?
That's where Ira says, I'm cutting back.
I believe I'm cutting back, but you're still going to have me to kick around, Lee. Right. I'm still going
to
be around.
I still find it hard to believe you're not doing Russo anymore. I still think you're going to pop up on the show every couple months.
You know what? I think I will.
All right, Ira, stop touching me.